Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily. Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. Midday show Friday. Back in the studio today. We got a big week next week as well coming up. Monday, McGurk's and Horsham for our trade deadline special. All day in McGurk's as we lead you up to the MLB trade deadline at 6 p.m. We'll see if the Cowboys pull some moves this weekend, or if it's going to be a Monday morning, afternoon, and evening show for Dave Dombrowski trying to fix this baseball team. We know Bryce Harper wants to know. Phillies in Baltimore this weekend. Very big series. The Phillies try to just wake up here and get back on track. Back at camp rest of the week next week. So a lot going on here in Philadelphia. Of course, LeBron James is a Sixer. I just keep saying it out loud. LeBron James is a Sixer. LeBron James is a Sixer. But one thing that is obviously top of mind is who's going to become a Philly in the next few days. Or a few, I should say. You know, how many players? They had a starter, a reliever, a bat, combination of them. Where do they go? But the one name that keeps coming up. So yesterday I had a couple of interesting rumors. Jeff Passan continues to, you know, bang the drum for one particular name I want to talk about. And then John Morosi's all over the Phillies Blue Jays connection. Let's share the spring training side. You know, they know each other's farm systems. Blue Jays look like they're in sell mode after being in the World Series last year. A lot of veterans there. That's a connection. But if the Phillies are going to go big at this trade deadline, the name that keeps coming up more than any is Zach Neto, the shortstop for the Los Angeles Angels. And I think he's a really interesting player to talk about and a really interesting target for the Phillies for a lot of layers. But what I want to dive into here today is he worth the haul he will cost? And he will cost a haul. He's 25 years old. He's under team control for years. This is not a rental. This isn't a one-year thing. It's not a two-year thing. The Phillies would have him for years to come. Teams don't trade productive 25-year-old shortstops for less than a big amount. So if the Phillies trade for Zach Neto, it's going to cost Gage Wood plus. It's going to cost a significant portion of the top of this farm system. This would be a building block player for the Phillies. And I think the question we need to ask is he worth it? So let's go through Zach Neto. You know, this year in the 230s, 330s on base, 430s slugging, you know, in that range. He's a guy that is profiled in his 3 years in the big leagues as a 20 homer, 20 steal type of player. He has power. He has speed. There is probably another level to where he could go to. Can he have a 30-30 season? He could. He could. You know, I think if you want to talk about a comp or where his career could go, I see a little bit of Alfonso Soriano in Zach Neto, where there's a lot of strikeout. There's real power. There's real speed. He's probably one notch below Alfonso Soriano. Now, the thing that is interesting about Neto is he was the first player from his draft class to reach the big leagues. You would think a college player 3 years in with production would probably be closer to 26, 27, who's 25. So you're getting him for his prime. You know, if the Phillies acquired him, they'd have him through his 20s. And then they could make a decision whether to extend his contract to try to buy out some free agent years and have him be the guy on this team that is the longest, under the longest contract eventually. You know, he'll be the last man standing. Or they could be a little bit different about this player compared to others and use up his 20s and let him go when he likely declines. So there's that. Now, the reason I brought up the Alfonso Soriano comp is there's some red flags to Zach Neto. I don't think he's a particularly great shortstop. I mean, he's not in the class of a Bobby Witt. He's not in the class of some of the best defensive shortstops in baseball. Now, it depends on the bar we want to talk about. If the bar for you is he better than Trey Turner and good enough to get Trey Turner off a shortstop here? The answer is yes. I believe that. He's clearly better at defensively than Trey Turner. He's younger than Trey Turner. And unlike Edmundo Sosa, who has been the option here in-house the last couple of years, there's enough to believe with Zach Neto, like you could play him, obviously play him every day. and he's going to produce enough that even if he's not great at shortstop, which I don't think he is, I think he's going to be an adequate shortstop defensively, but a bat first shortstop the way Trey Turner used to be. I mean, you know, plenty of teams won a lot of baseball games with Trey Turner at shortstop in his 20s because Trey was better there then. But he also was hitting the cover off the ball and stealing a bunch of bases and running around. And in his offense and his overall value outweighed the defense. It did it for the Nationals, did it for the Dodgers until he got to the Phillies. And now it's gone so far the other way that it doesn't anymore. He doesn't hit as much. But Noto's in that sweet spot of his career where, yes, he is a player that is on the surface. If you have him, it makes sense to put him at short and make him the shortstop and move Trey Turner off the position. But there are some red flags. And I bring up Soriano because I thought Soriano had similar ones in his career. Talent's there, but the strikeout rate keeps climbing. Now, one thing I like about Neto this year is the walk rate's above 10%. And that tells me if he could really align and find himself and get himself to some years where he hits 250, 260, 270, with that walk rate where it's climbing to, you could see a scenario where his on base is 350, 360, 370. You could see that path for him there. And you start doing the math on this. Well, if he could hit 250, 260, get his on base to 340, 350, you know, and the slug should be in the 450s, we're at 800 OPS or better shortstop with speed. That's really valuable. That's really good. That's some form of Trey Turner, some form of Alfonso Soriano. That's good. What I don't like is the strikeout rate that is rising. That is catching my attention. That we're at 30% now. And that's a number where if you're not hitting 30 plus home runs, it feels like it's a problematic area. And you kind of go under the hood a little bit and there's chase. So we have a guy who has a strikeout issue, has a chase issue, and doesn't play particularly great defense, although his offense seems to offset it at least, and I think it will for his 20s. It feels like a Soriano. It feels like a younger Trey Turner. Now, that player is good, but is this who we want to move everything to the middle of the table for? It feels a little bit desperate to me. It feels like the best option the Phillies can come up with because they want to move Trey off a shortstop and they don't have the shortstop to do it with. So, well, let's just go find a shortstop. Okay. Well, they're not easy to find. They cost a lot. And unless you have a young Lindor, a young Turner, a young Bogarts, a young Witt, you know, there's going to be some questions moving forward. Is he even a shortstop? I think at some point that will probably be a Neto conversation 3, 4, 5 years from now. Look, I like Zach Neto. And I think he's been a very productive and, you know, early career production that rivals a lot of players in the history, in a recent history, as I'll put that way. Another name I'll throw out here is Jay Bell. Jay Bell was a very productive middle infielder when he was, with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Good player. The question is, as the Phillies don't have a great farm system, is this who you really want to push all in for? I don't. If he just magically popped up here tomorrow and you said, Joe, are they a better baseball team with Zach Neto? And the process begins of getting Trey off a shortstop. Of course, like that's anyone with a brain would say that's better than what they have. And it makes them a better baseball team. And I think in the aggregate, you know, down the line, whenever they choose to do it, Trey to the outfield and Neto at shortstop would make them a better baseball team, a deeper baseball team, a better baseball team. It would improve two areas of weakness and make them either strengths or less weak at the shortstop position. And wherever they end up putting Trey Turner in the outfield, I think he'd be fine in center. I think he'd be fine in left. I think Trey Turner is going to be a solid outfielder, even as he advances in age. I think he's going to do it well. I mean, his ability to run has not wavered. I don't think his arm is a bad arm. Obviously, he's been a shortstop forever and ever. It's not a howitzer out there. It's not Vlad Guerrero, but he'll be fine. And I actually think he'll grade out as an average to above average center fielder. Or left fielder. So that'd be great. Now, the weird part of the in-the-moment aspect of this is it did seem like the Phillies would be keen on making all these switches in the moment. So Neto would come here and play a different position, I suppose, for the rest of the season. And then in the offseason, they would give Neto a shortstop back and they would move Trey Turner. I don't know. I mean, I think we overcomplicate all this stuff. I think we overcomplicate changing positions. These are big league ball players. You know, I remember Manny Machado was a kid, you know, double A with the triple A with the Orioles, 2012 Orioles were in a race. And Machado was a shortstop. By trade, he was a shortstop. But the Orioles had J.J. Hardy there. And J.J. Hardy was a spectacular, at that point, defensive player. And they didn't have a third baseman. And their plan was to every day, you know, before their minor league game, to get Manny Machado reps at third base. They basically made him a third baseman in a month. And, you know, obviously as he got bigger and stronger and aged, he transitioned to that position. And that's where we'll remember him. I mean, I think very few people will remember Manny Machado as a shortstop, but he goes to the Hall of Fame one day. He'll be remembered as a third baseman. I'm not saying Trey Turner could go to the Hall of Fame or be remembered as anything but a shortstop. But my point is, in a month, a 19-year-old Manny Machado is like, all right, I'll move over there and I'll play it. And he played it well. So the idea that the Phillies couldn't do a crash course to put Trey back in the outfield where he did play when he was younger is just, it's lazy. It's lazy thinking. Of course they can do it if they want to do it. But, you know, I mean, the idea of Neto a third, maybe Bohm out of here, and Sod at second, Trey at short for the rest of the season, and then in the offseason, Neto back to short, Trey to the outfield, they figure out third base. I could see that. Now, it would drive me crazy if Neto standing there at third is the better shortstop, and Trey Turner makes an error in a big moment in October, I'd lose my mind. I mean, we watched this in New York about 20 years ago, where Derek Jeter basically refused to move off a shortstop, and the Yankees refused to ask him because he was Derek Jeter, and they had won all those championships with him. But Alex Rodriguez, was clearly the better third baseman, by the better shortstop and third baseman. He was a better player, and he was a better defensive player by a mile when he got to New York, and he moved to third base. So teams do this silly stuff. I won't be surprised that happens. Neto's productive. Neto's cheap. Neto's young. Neto is good. He is a better defensive player than Trey Turner, even if the defensive numbers on Neto have gone backwards a little bit. And, you know, they're not great. He's better than Trey Turner. As far as his offense, I like a lot of it. I like the overall game he brings. I don't like that his strikeout rate is rising. I don't like that he leads the American League in strikeouts. I think there is some flaw to it. And if you could put Zach Neto on the Phillies tomorrow, I'm in. But if you're telling me over the next 2 years, they've got one big move left in the holster, like they got one big move left, I wouldn't do it for Zach Neto. Now, who I would do it for, that's a challenging question because you don't know who's going to pop up, who's going to be available, see the kind of club control they're going to have. I mean, the idea is the Juan Sotos of the world don't get traded very often. Would the Royals at some point listen on Bobby Witt if they continue to stumble? I doubt it because he signed up for years and seems to love it there. Would the Orioles in the offseason, because they haven't figured it out, listen for a haul on Gunnar Henderson? I think they might. You know, so I just start thinking about what the best of the Phillies farm system could bring back. And I think it could definitely bring back Zach Neto. And if that's where I want to cash Gage Wood in on, if that's where I want to take this what they have and say, this is the team now. This is the group we're going to use for the next 3, 4, 5 years. I'm a little underwhelmed by that idea. Now, does it make the 2026 Phillies better? Of course it does. That's obvious. And is it good Trey Turner off a shortstop? Yes, eventually. You know, probably this offseason into next year. And that's a good thing for the Phillies. But when I hear that the Angels would target Renteria, who probably is an untouchable now at 17 years old in this organization, and would want Gage Wood, that's the kind of haul, that's the kind of franchise-changing trade you make for a guy that you believe is a difference maker for years from. Not good, but a difference maker for years to come. And I struggle with Neto, although good, to see if he's going to be that. I have questions long-term with him at shortstop. I have questions with the strikeouts. I have questions with the chase. I have questions with some of the things that are making him available. And then I think it's fair to wonder. The Angels stink. They finally have found some young players that look like they're all-star caliber players, building blocks. Neto's one of them. Why would they deal him? Why would he not be a building block that they give an extension to the way the Royals did with Witt. What do they see on a game-to-game basis? What do they know about him that they're like, yeah, we move him? That would make me think and make me wonder. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out. There we have a lot to talk about in the midday show today. Phillies need some wins. They need some help is what they need. Enjoy the series against the Orioles this week, and we'll talk soon on WIP Daily.